hope everyone is having a wonderful Sabbath in the time apart from the world's time. It is quite a privilege for all of us, and I know we do not take it lightly. As I begin, I'm going to start with a scriptural reference, although you don't need to turn here, but it really starts to set the stage for what I would like to speak about today. And this begins on the road to Jerusalem for Jesus and his disciples. And as Jesus and his disciples were going into Jerusalem, the mother of Zebedee's sons, and the sons were James and John, asked our Lord for a favor. And the favor was to grant that her sons would sit at Jesus' side in the kingdom. And if you want to go back and look at that, this scriptural reference later on, it's Matthew 19:20. Jesus answered, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" So bear that in mind. Brethren, most of us from time to time have experienced dread, whether it is in a dentist chair the night before a procedure or a test of some kind or another. You experience that visceral feeling of wishing you could somehow get off the hook. I remember as my parents were in their last hours of their lives, respectively, being by their side, which was a great blessing, and wanting to be there desperately for them, to comfort them and be part of what was going on, but also having an overwhelming sense of wanting to be transported away in a flash, even if only for an hour or so, just to be transported away. So I felt that my body, my emotions, my mind could not stand the pressure of watching them in this state much longer. It was overwhelming. On a more lighthearted, but certainly didn't feel lighthearted at the time, I recall steadying myself for a root canal procedure here in Fort Collins many years ago. I'd never had one. Certainly, we all hear the stories of root canals and even root canals gone wrong. And as I sat in the chair, wishing to become numb, with a brace on my mouth that most likely looked as though I was in a never-ending scream, I glanced a few feet away to what was a glass door that in this room happened to open onto the sidewalk. And I thought very seriously about fleeing, just bolting. Without even looking at me much as she was preparing various needles that were going to be given to me, the nurse calmly said, "I'd catch you, you know." She was partially serious, but so was I in how I felt. My point hopefully will soon become clear. We've all had these seemingly horrible moments in life, a trial, we're tested, and perhaps we've learned that we should pray. In general, yes, and perhaps especially at such times. What seems unbearable for us can bring us back to a correct realization that we require God's compassion and mercy. Okay, once again, bear in mind that and turn with me to a very familiar scripture, Matthew 26, verse 36. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.'" Brethren, as if we would forget, but this is our Lord Jesus Christ now expressing in the moment a most human emotion. He was at this point asking his friends to comfort him, though they had little idea of what truly lay ahead for their master. Now in verse 39, it continues, and I'm in the New King James Version. "He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Our Savior is here modeling what we must do. Rely on the Father, but His will be done. As we know, the disciples were not able to stay awake and provide that comfort that Jesus sought and the company for their friend and for their master, for they were tired. Now, if we continue on in the same chapter in verse 42, again a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And we must remember, just hours earlier, our Lord had observed the Passover with his disciples, though he established an entirely new commemoration of what was to come. His death, his murder truly, for our salvation from our sinful nature. Step back in scripture with me now to Matthew 26, verse 36. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you,'" in verse 28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins," our sins. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, having just eaten and celebrated the Passover with his disciples, while also illustrating the coming of a new covenant between God and mankind, Jesus goes into the garden and experiences a moment of true humanity and even temptation, not for sin, but to ask the Father for consideration of an alternate plan, a new plan to reconcile God with his flawed, sinful creation. The cup that Jesus requests the Father to pass from him also illustrates his sacrifice that is to come, one that will initiate a new relationship with God the Father. Since we do know where this night heads as day approaches, we ask, did God the Father not hear the Son's prayer? We're trained to look only for our own will as the answer to our prayers, or what we expect an affirmative response to be. Turn with me now to Luke 22, verse 43. First, actually, back in verse 42, we again see our Lord praying to the Father. Same situation. "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours will be done." But again, did the Father hear the prayer of Jesus? I believe we see clear answer in verse 43. "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." And in verse 44 it continues, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Jesus was then able to carry on with all that was to come next for him. The cup would not pass, but the Spirit of God was with him. We're not quite done yet with the imagery and the reality of the cup. For my last scripture, I would ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21. It's very different from the prior scriptures. Paul here is warning members of the church in Corinth of the realities of demonic pressure, presence, and their practices, and of course, the consequences. In verse 21, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons." Earlier in the chapter, Paul questions the members. This is in verse 16. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And in 17, "For we, though many, are of one bread and one body, if we all partake of that one bread." The cup of sin brings death, as if by poison. Yet we can accept the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and choose the cup of salvation that he truly and freely accepted on our behalf that night so many years ago. Though we read these scriptures many times over, at least I have, I never quite grasped the meaning behind all of this. And perhaps we don't think of the agony that even Jesus sought release from, but accepted the will of the Father. He did so that we would have the opportunity to one day be with the Father and the Son in the kingdom, having chosen the right course and the right cup, the cup of salvation.